Thanks for listening to the Gregor Show podcast. Are you looking for something unique? Lakewood has a large selection of special edition trucks by Chevrolet. Life is too short not to be special. Learn more at lakewoodchev.com. Let's go around the NHL. Brought to you by Herbers Autobody. Don't trust your vehicle to an on-demand guesstimate. Herbers offers a free pre-repair inspection. Herbers Autobody, like it never happened. It's the Oilers and the Penguins tonight. McDavid, Malkin, Crosby. Should be awesome. Bill West from Pittsburgh Tribe Sports, a beat writer for the Penguins, joins us. Bill, I want to start on the back end. The guys are going to have to face off against McDavid. And without Letang or Daly or Olimata, you know, this defense corps, thankfully, I guess they acquired some veterans at the deadline, but definitely a depleted blue line where you, if you're an Oilers fan, you would think Connor McDavid should be able to create some more chances.
Yeah, without that true number one in Letang, you're probably looking around a little bit and trying to figure out what personnel you have that can handle it. And McDavid's made it pretty clear it doesn't matter who you put out there against him, he's going to get his chances and create off the rush. I think the Penguins have been very happy with the guys they acquired at the deadline, Ron Hainsey and Mark Streit. In Hainsey, you have a pretty proven stay-at-home kind of defenseman. He understands the strengths and weaknesses and plays a smart game as a result. And Streit is a more offensive guy, but I think also has been around the league long enough that he knows his limits and knows when to take some risks versus just settle for the safe play. So I could see those two getting significant time against McDavid. And I think if it's not them, then in all likelihood, you probably see Justin Schultz out there, which I'm sure will be intriguing to Oilers fans because I'm sure they didn't imagine seeing Justin Schultz being trusted with such a role. But with the Penguins, that's kind of the player he's become.
Now, speaking of Schultz, I talked to him today. Obviously, his offensive numbers, which is why he was drafted originally and when he signed by the Oilers, everybody expected him to be an offensive defenseman, and now he's living up to that. I know the Penguins, I watched his numbers, last year, or even early in the first 30 games this year. They really sheltered him to give him more confidence. He wasn't put up against the McDavids of the world or that. He was, Letang would face the tough minutes, and he was a power play guy, third pairing. But with the injuries, he's had to play more. How has he looked on a pure defensive role when he's out there against other team skill guys?
He's done well. I'm not sure he is ever going to be a true number one or number two where you can do it on a regular basis, but we're still kind of in the early learning process of seeing Justin Schultz in this enhanced role. Like you said, it was somewhat forced upon the Penguins when Letang got hurt and Dumoulin was out for a period of time with a broken jaw. The Penguins looked around and didn't really have a lot of guys they could trust with the tough minutes. So Justin Schultz and Ian Cole have been a really strong pairing in multiple ways, not just in terms of point production, but in terms of shot metrics and kind of dictating play. They've been arguably the best tandem. Now, again, they partially were doing that against non-top forward lines and trios, things like that. But I would say it's been encouraging so far. So while Justin Schultz might never be considered a true number one or a guy you can throw out there against anyone and believe you're going to win the matchup, I think that the Penguins are confident, because it starts with Justin Schultz's confidence. I think there was, when he was at his worst and really was, frustrated with things in Edmonton, he just was questioning everything he was doing, whether it was in defensive zone, offensive zone, you name it. Since coming to Pittsburgh, he's regained that confidence, and it started with the offensive side of things and putting him in positions where he could play to his strengths. But now I think he's maybe finding what worked for him when he was a top pair guy in the AHL or in college. And he's starting to believe a little bit again that he doesn't need to be coddled and kind of protected from the big names.
And Brian Dumoulin, his defense partner right now, a player, they got in a trade a few years ago from Washington and really has worked out for that. Not from Washington, sorry, in the Stahl trade. But Dumoulin's come over from Carolina, and, man, he's really evolved, and that trade looks great.
Yeah, Brian Dumoulin, it's kind of become a funny asterisk because when Dumoulin was acquired, he was certainly not a big piece of that deal, but he has become a really solid stay-at-home kind of defenseman. He's not a physical guy. He's not going to intimidate people. In fact, I think that's something the Penguins have worked on with him, being just a little more, of a presence around the net and not letting guys get in those high percentage areas. But, he's very good with his stick. He's a good skater for his size, understands how to use reach and gap control. So he's been a nice complement to whether it's Letang or Justin Schultz. or really any of the guys that want to be aggressive and jump up in the play, Dumoulin is a nice counterbalance to that because he's willing to stay back and kind of be the safety valve.
Carter Roney, who is from Sexsmith, Alberta, making a unique path to the National Hockey League, an undrafted player, played in the AJHL here in Grand Prairie up north, and then was in the ECHL as he signed for the first 40 games, lit it up. Then he got promoted 2.5 years in the A, and now he's up in the NHL. How's he looked?
Carter's been great. Like I said, it's a cool story. He's a great guy, so it's easy to write about him and kind of root for him. He's done everything that's been asked of him at every level. He's truly kind of a jack of all trades and really caught the Penguins' attention last year with point production, because I think he's always been a functional player, guy that can go out and be versatile and be trusted to do different things, but didn't really put up numbers that would intrigue anyone at the highest levels. But has kind of developed the scoring touch or found it in the past year or two, and it's earned him a legitimate NHL roster spot. I think part of the reason the Penguins were willing to let go of Eric Fair, and granted Fair was a reasonable sized cap hit at $2 million, so there were other incentives to get rid of him. I think they had a comfort level or confidence level to do that because Carter Roney is a cheap alternative, and he can play the same kind of game. He can be a winger or a center, kill penalties if they need him to, chip in a goal here and there. So he's a very cost-effective 27-year-old rookie.
Yeah.
So it's been a nice investment.
Yeah, the Penguins, when you have depth, you can bring guys in all over the place. And one guy who's come in, Jake Guentzel, man, this guy's lighting it up.
Yeah, Jake Guentzel is a fun player to watch. Maybe a guy that teams would overlook because he's not the biggest. He certainly can still put some meat on his bones, but plays a good speed game and is just a smart player. And maybe the same way Connor Sheary, another undersized guy the Penguins have found a lot of success with. They both think the game really well and connect with a player like Sidney Crosby, which Sidney Crosby thinks the game so quickly and is so many steps ahead of others that to even be one or two steps behind him is probably an achievement. So, Guentzel has fit with Crosby when he was Malkin. He did some really nice things. And again, the Penguins are very curious to see where that goes because in a small sample here, he's done a lot of the right things.
And what's the update physically on the three defensemen that are out now in Daly, Mata, and Letang?
Well, Mata and Daly were initially basically given 6-week recovery periods. So I think we're in week 4 or thereabouts for each of them. So they'll probably be right up until the end of the regular season, close to it, before either of them come back. Daly's maybe a bigger question. There's some speculation about whether he'll just stay on LTIR through the end of the season. That way the Penguins can afford cap situation as it currently stands and then bring him back for the playoffs. But they're progressing in kind of a long-term kind of way that you do. Chris Letang is the real question mark. When he first got hurt, the Penguins described it as a day-to-day upper body injury. He was in the Penguins practice right before the outdoor game. He was in a non-contact role, but nonetheless present for the whole practice. And then from there, his availability disappeared. He stopped going to practices. The last time he was involved with a Penguins practice, he up and left halfway through. Mike Sullivan described or said that was simply because it was a contact part of practice and he didn't need to stick around, which was, again, abnormal. Normally guys still hang on the bench. And then he hasn't really been involved with anything since. He's walking around the locker room area. We've seen him. He's not wearing anything, casts or brace or anything. So it's just tough to figure and led to some pressure for the Penguins to reveal or shed a little light on the nature of the injury. Mike Sullivan the other day indicated that it's not concussion related. It's not related to his heart condition or stroke, anything like that, because he, of course, has that history. So we're back to guessing, and all we know now is that it's hockey-related injury.
Hockey-related injury.
Yes.
All right.
Hockey-related injury that...
I love the vagueness of that. That's awesome. Hockey-related injury.
Yeah.
Nice. Bill, we appreciate it. We'll see you at the rink. Should be a great matchup.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks.